The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 42. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice, or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John wouldn't have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, or do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message was our gospel lesson. There's a difference in the purpose of life between Christ and ourselves. We live in a time of grace. When we look at the faith that he's given us and the importance of his love for us. And we're given every opportunity in this life to grow in the knowledge of the salvation that Christ won for us on the cross. In comparison, Jesus' life was a life set to die. Since before the creation of the world, the scripture tells us he had his eyes set on the cross to die for us. But between his birth and death, he did many things that we know about. He taught on the mountains. He taught in the synagogues. He healed. He healed the sick, many miracles, and carried out his Father's will. That's probably the most important one. He carried out his Father's will at all times. At Jesus' baptism, Jesus was fulfilling the will of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 says, Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. God's will is explained in the text. It's both to show us that he is a sinner's Savior and to show us how sinners are also to be saved. The second half of the text, we see the power and testimony at the baptism of Jesus. Verse 16 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. He had come to the Jordan River to John to be baptized by him. They went down into the river, and Jesus was baptized. Now, this is going to upset my Baptist friends, but it doesn't say Jesus was fully immersed in the water. So, you know, the argument between Baptists and Lutherans is always, how much water do you use in baptism? And we say all that matters is you use some water, and they think you got to have a full dunking bath with shampoo and rinse. Oh, well, there goes any chance of getting invited to a Baptist barbecue. But when he was baptized, heaven itself was opened up. The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. The crowd saw this. John saw this. And it was more, and they realized that this was more than just the son of Joseph and Mary. And, of course, the voice reinforced it all. The crowd and John heard the voice from heaven as well. Indeed, he was the Messiah. When God the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased," the Father was also acknowledging that Jesus was true man and true God at the same time. Jesus came to be baptized in order to show that he was the sinner's Savior. At Jesus' baptism, clearly it stated he is the Son of God. But the effect was short-lived on the crowds. The crowds had to be amazed at what they heard and what they had seen with the dove coming down and sitting on Jesus. They had to have been amazed, but it didn't last for long. Because as we well know, a lot of people opposed Jesus' ministry. They did not want to believe in him. But even at the end of Jesus' life, before the resurrection, there were many who still believed in him that he was the Son of God. Even the demons themselves recognized who he was. In Mark chapter 1, verse 24, the demon says, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of Israel." Even the demons testified that he was true man and true God. Sometimes today, Jesus is ignored or sidelined. He's seen as a great teacher. He's a miracle worker, he's a storyteller, or he's just a really nice guy that you wish you had as a neighbor. But back to the text. Excuse me. By God's grace alone, we are able to see that Jesus is the Son of God. We know and believe because of God's grace. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of God's grace, we can believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." As the Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism, so when we were each baptized, no matter what age that was, the Spirit descended upon us and created faith within us. That's the miracle when we have a baptism here at church. Usually it's an infant that I'm holding, but the Spirit is descending upon that infant, although we can't see it, and creating faith there. Yet many try to find their own ways to heaven. They'll say, "After all, I'm not really a bad person. I try hard enough. I try to treat people kindly. God will have to take me to heaven because of that." And sadly, some church bodies even teach the same thing. They teach goodness and kindness, and they'll say, "What's the matter with that?" As though that was a way of salvation. The only way to salvation is through Christ himself. When the apostles in the book of Acts were thrown in the jail, they were released on the condition that they would not preach Jesus crucified. You know what they immediately did as soon as they got out of prison? Take a shot in the dark. They went and preached. You got it. Great example in the first part of Acts when Peter and John got out of prison and went right back to the temple where they had been arrested the day before and continued to preach to the people there. And they preached this message from Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That is why Jesus came to be baptized, was for our salvation. Baptism was to show us that he is the Savior of sinners. He was also baptized to fulfill God's will and also to show us that he is the only way to salvation. And Jesus went out of his way to be baptized. He went from the north in Galilee down to the Jordan. Same journey that Mary and Joseph had taken 30 years before. Jesus is making the same journey, but for a different purpose. Where the quote came from the Bible. Sorry about that. But when Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me?" John knew exactly who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and he was shocked. He was shocked that John the Lesser was to baptize Jesus the Greater. That's how John referred to himself. I must lessen while he becomes greater. John did not want to baptize Jesus. He had preached that someone greater than himself was coming. But John also knew Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Because after all, Jesus is sinless. Only sinners are baptized. But is John trying to stop God's will when he says, "No, I don't want to do this"? I would say no. John was just shocked that Jesus, the Son of God himself, wanted to be baptized by lowly John. I find John extremely humble in this section of Scripture. John is arguing, or Jesus is arguing, that it's proper to do this because it carries out God's will. It carries out the plan of salvation. It's a plan of salvation that's to be carried to the ends of the earth. And we're simply told John baptized Jesus. Of course, when we look at Jesus' baptism, we realize a glaring difference. Jesus had never sinned in thought, word, or deed. He didn't need to be baptized ever to wash away sins. The glaring difference is that we sin by thought, word, and deed constantly. We need that washing of baptism. And we've heard of its importance in our lessons today. We are also born enemies of God. Too oftentimes people look at a baby, and they do this quite innocently. They think this is an innocent baby. Notice how I even worded it myself. It's an innocent baby. No, it's a beloved child who hopefully after its baptism, not hopefully, after the baptism, is a beloved child of God. That's how we're born, as enemies of God. Jesus had come to fulfill the Father's will, to show us the importance of baptism and the importance of God's word. And today people don't like to talk about sin. They like to think, well, they live pretty good lives and they keep most of the commandments. But sin is sin is sin. What are we to do? We cannot stand before God alone based on our own righteousness, because our own righteousness, our own good deeds are tainted by sin. It's kind of like a glass of water. If this is the good deed you have done, and then I add an ounce of motor oil to it, you still want to drink that? But it started out with water, didn't it? See, I just tainted it with sin. That's what our good works are before God. God refers to them as dirty rags, or I would say tainted by sin. Jesus says to John, "It is good to do this. Let it be done now so that we will fulfill all righteousness." Paul writes, "We who were unrighteous have become righteous. We who are sinners have become sinless, with sins forgiven by Christ, his perfect life, his innocent death, and his glorious resurrection." Look at the baptism of Jesus. It was done for the purpose, or his purpose for living was to die. Jesus had to obey all the law because you and I break the law constantly. Jesus lived and died so that we might live and die and rise again. This is an example of Christ's great love for us. It all reminds us of the importance of baptism. Baptism is not just a symbolic act, but it's a washing away of sins. In Ephesians, Paul writes, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word. As I said, Jesus did not need to be baptized, but he did it because it was according to God's will. The purpose for his baptism was not only to fulfill the will of God, but it also, the act of baptism, put Jesus under the law of Moses, that he would now have to keep the law of Moses perfectly. He'd already been doing it for 30 years, but now he was publicly proclaiming he's putting himself under the law of Moses. He came to show sinners that they are saved by him and him alone. We have the testimony of John. We have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. We have the testimony of the Father when he said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The testimonies reinforce the values of the sacraments and God's word. Luther writes, "It is by daily and contrition and repentance that we drown our sinful nature." He's referring to baptism. "As a drowning of the sinful nature with the waters of baptism." He talks about daily we have to drown the old Adam within us, the sinful man within us, so that the new man of under Christ can arise. Our baptism saves us. Jesus came into the world, was baptized, so that the world could see him as a Savior. After this, Jesus begins his earthly ministry. He calls his disciples. John continues to preach that he is the Christ, to pay attention to him. John's crowds would lessen, while Jesus' crowds grew greater. But that was okay with John, because he knew the purpose that Christ had come into the world. The next continues in John chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day," this is after the baptism, "John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This Lamb of God was baptized so that the world would recognize him as Savior. This is our Lamb of God. Jesus, who comes to be baptized to show us the importance of our living in his salvation. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.